God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So our series is called Root to Fruit, and today we're talking about pride. Why do we include pride when we're talking about what we're rooted in? If we don't get pride right, in seeing what it is and how it affects our lives and acts as a poison in so much of our lives, then our whole position of where we see ourselves and where we see God, it gets flipped upside down and it's backwards. And so pride, it's always coming towards us. Pride is always kind of inundating our lives. It's always creeping in and trying to find a way to minimize God and exalt ourselves, and it'll bring destruction. Now, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4 and chapter 5, it recounts the story of the great king of Babylon named Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he had this amazing kingdom. He had huge military conquerings. He went around the world conquering nations. Those nations then, he exacted tribute from them, so he was raking in a lot of money. He was building palaces with moats around them. He was building cities and monuments and statues. Amazing feats that King Nebuchadnezzar had. He was an accomplished king, the longest reigning king in the Babylonian dynasty. Now, just as Ecclesiastes 3:22 says, it says, "Rejoice in your work." Nebuchadnezzar had every reason to delight in a job well done, to feel that pleasure and satisfaction derived from, I set my mind to something and I achieved it and I built something. But something was happening inside of him, right? More than just this sense of satisfaction and pleasure, how we use the English word proud or pride, I was proud of myself. And that good sense of, wow, look at what I did. Nebuchadnezzar's ego was inflating, right? His view of self was growing, and his view of God was diminishing. He was the greatest king in the known world at that time, and as he looked around, he saw himself as number one. Now, God had been making himself known to Nebuchadnezzar through dreams and through Daniel, and now another dream comes of this great tree and all the birds in the tree, and the tree's cut down, and it's left just as a stump. It's soaking in the dew of the sky, and Daniel warns him, that's you. Your dynasty will be taken from you. And so he pleads with him, turn, humble yourself before God. A year goes by, and there's Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. He's standing on his palace. He's on the roof on the hillside. He's looking over the whole country. He sees all that he's built. He sees all the grandeur and all the splendor. And he says to himself, and he shouts out, is this not the great Babylon that I have built as a royal residence by my might and for the glory of my majesty? And as those words are still on his lips, he's interrupted by a voice from heaven. And God says, your royal authority has been taken from you. You'll be driven away from people and you'll live with wild animals. You'll eat grass like the ox. Seven times will pass by until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. And at that moment, Nebuchadnezzar's sanity snapped. He lost his mind and he was driven away and he was living in the forest. He was eating grass as if he were an ox. His hair was growing, his nails were growing. He was completely gone. Everything that he had, everything that he accomplished, everything that he took pride in and said, this is mine, it was stripped away in the blink of an eye. Until 7 years had passed, and he raised his eyes to heaven. Now earlier he was standing above everything else, looking down on everything. Now he's laid low. I imagine him on his hands and his knees, and he looks up under the mighty hand of God. And then his sanity was restored, and he acknowledged God, and he praised God, and he proclaimed that there is no other God who is true. What a lesson in pride this is, right? Yes, Nebuchadnezzar, you did great things. Yes, you accomplished wonderful things, but where did you get your strength? Yes, you planned all these wonderful acts. Where did you get your wisdom? Everything comes from God, and as Nebuchadnezzar was humbled, he saw God for who he truly is. He raised his eyes to heaven. See, pride minimizes God. Pride does not see God as God. Now, the next chapter in the book of Daniel talks about one of those who succeeded Nebuchadnezzar on the throne, Belshazzar. Now, when the time he was on the throne, it was really Belshazzar's father, Nabonidus. It's hard to pronounce biblical names, right? But here's a hint. If you're ever reading the Bible and there's a name you don't know, just say it with confidence. No one else will notice. So, Nabonidus' father went to Arabia for a time. Belshazzar's on the throne as a co-regent. And he's thinking, I've arrived. Look at where I am. The kingdom at my feet. Me above everything else. I could do as I please. So he throws a party. He's got this banquet. And he remembers Nebuchadnezzar. He went and he sacked Jerusalem. He destroyed this temple of this God that everybody's talking about as the most high overall. We've got his golden tablets, golden goblets from the temple. Bring those goblets in. I'll show you who God is. I'll drink out of those goblets as I praise the gold and silver, things that I can control, things that I can manage. And as he insults God by drinking out of these sacred goblets, a hand appears, the figure of a human hand, and it writes on the wall. Belshazzar's terrified. And they're calling around, and they remember Daniel. He can interpret these sort of things, and Daniel's brought in. And Daniel reminds him, remember Nebuchadnezzar? He says, but you, Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself. This is Daniel 5:22. You have not humbled yourself, though you knew all that Nebuchadnezzar went through. Instead, you have set yourself against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles and wives and concubines drank from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, but you did not honor the God who holds his hand in his hand your life and your ways. So he interprets what's written on the wall, many, many, tekel, parson, meaning God has numbered your days and your reign is brought to an end. You've been weighed on the scales. You've been found wanting. Your kingdom's going to be divided amongst others. And that very night, they were attacked and Belshazzar's life was taken from him. All that he had, his whole kingdom, everything set before him, taken away and gone. God opposes the proud. I want you to grab your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be looking at this wonderful verses about pride and humbling ourselves before God. If you don't own a Bible, we have a number that we'd love to give you. Bible, God's good book, God speaking to us. There's also Bibles in front of you. So 1 Peter, right near the end of the book, chapter 5, verses 5, 6, and 7. Let's read these together. I'll read it. So halfway through 5, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So we want to look at, since God is God, humble yourself before him. And we want to look at two different avenues, times of life, where to humble ourselves before him. When life is going well, and when life is difficult. Now, when life is going well, we're to humble ourselves before him. And it says here, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Come under the mighty hand of God. And when everything's going well and you're seeing success and health and great relationships and finances are okay, when life is going well, isn't that a difficult time to be humble? Because we look around and we say, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I can do anything. And we start to feel a little bit invincible. It's difficult to humble ourselves. And yet we're told, come under the mighty hand of God. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, where he raised his eyes to heaven, coming under the mighty hand of God, acknowledging God. And in order to come under God, and to place yourself below him and under him, we need to know who he is. We really need to recognize that God is God. That's why most of our series has been talking about who God is and the power of the gospel. First, we need to know who God is, and then we're to work out how does that look in our lives to come under the mighty hand of God. We want to work that out in our daily successes and the things that we do. And more than just the football player running across the end zone after he scored a touchdown acknowledging Jesus, we want to say, what does it mean to acknowledge God? What does it mean to come under him in all of our lives? Now, it is a posture. It's a whole attitude and a way of being. But the word humble yourself is something that you are actually doing. It's a physical thing that you do. And here's a couple of practical suggestions on how we can humble ourselves before God. Now, these aren't silver bullets, of course. But if you're tempted towards pride and life is going well and you have many successes, one thing to do is to regularly give thanks. Because as you're giving thanks, what are you doing? Aren't you acknowledging where things have come from? Give thanks for your strength. Give thanks for your wisdom. Give thanks for your privilege and your education and your upbringing. And give thanks. And as you regularly give thanks, that's placing yourself under the mighty hand of God. Another practical suggestion. Be a person that encourages one another. Because as pride minimizes God and it exalts self, we also often are tempted to exalt ourselves above one another. But if we make a habit of encouraging one another, you did a really good job there. I really like how you stepped out in faith and looked to Jesus here. I love how you lowered yourself and served that person there. And as we encourage one another, it's kind of putting us in our place, right? And seeing things with a good perspective to build others up, to recognize all of life. Now, to humble yourself, there's those positive ways that you can do. Be an encourager, give thanks. But the word humble, doesn't it mean to lower yourself? And in lowering yourself, there's ways in which we don't just build others up, but how do you actually lower yourself under the mighty hand of God? If you're struggling with pride, try fasting. Right? Miss a meal or two or three, and you'll see where your strength comes from. You're hungry, you're tired, and all of a sudden you're not as invincible as you were. And it's placing yourself under the mighty hand of God, recognizing, I can't even go a day without food. My life has to come from him. I know fasting's not popular because in our society we're all about strength and we're all about accomplishing things and being on your best game. But to lower yourself, to place yourself under the mighty hand of God, I know not everyone can fast because of medical reasons, but give it a shot. When you're struggling with pride, miss a few meals. Don't put yourself in that position. Another way to lower yourself and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, serve. Put others first. Try volunteering for something. Spend some time washing the dishes or watching babies or caring for kids or serving others, or sitting at a bedside and listening. There's so many different ways to serve. Over the next couple of weeks in our bulletins, we're going to be talking about avenues to serve in our church family, in the ministries that we have. Serve. As you're serving others, you're placing yourself under the mighty hand of God. Another practical way, give. Spend some money. Care for the poor. Care for someone in need. Support a missionary. Give some money away, reminding yourself, I worked so hard for this, I deserve this, I'm entitled to this. And then as you give it away, it's placing yourself under the mighty hand of God, and it's reminding you, all you have really comes from him anyways. Now, you can do all of those things, and if you don't place yourself under the mighty hand of God in them, they'll actually give you more pride. I'm pretty good at serving, aren't I? Look how much I gave. On, I fast. lasted so long. Right? Yes, they aren't silver bullets and you do those things and you've humbled yourself, but they are physical acts to remind you to place yourself under the mighty hand of God. And so if the verse says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, it doesn't have a period next. It says, that he may lift you up in due time. In God's proper time, he'll lift you up. He'll exalt you. What's God's role? To exalt you. And what's your role? To wait patiently for that to happen. It says in due time. Doesn't mean God's going to, you humble yourself at 8 in the morning and by 8:30 he's already exalted you. It's not quite like that. In God's proper time, he'll lift you up. He'll exalt you. And that means, on our behalf, patience. Now, how much pride does patience have? Not very much. Unless there's something that I can wait for that's even better, that'll build me up even more, well, then I can wait for it and be patient. Pride's not very patient. And unless it has a bigger goal. But God is putting a bigger goal before us here. He's saying, in due time, he'll lift you up. He'll exalt you. And so our role is to humble ourselves before him, knowing that now I can humble myself, I can lower myself, and later God will lift me up. We don't know when that later will be. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about some great examples of faith and how they waited and their whole lives they were walking by faith and they didn't see the promises fulfilled because God had something better in store for them in eternity. And often when we have an eternal perspective, it helps us to wait and to be patient now as we humble ourselves. Now, in being patient and waiting for God to exalt us, don't read it wrong and saying, well, there's this promotion at work and I'm just not going to worry about that. No, work hard towards success. Push for things and put out that extra effort. But remind yourself, no, that's not what it's all about. There's something better. Having an eternal perspective gives us a bigger goal. Waiting patiently with an eternal perspective. And when life is going well, it's particularly difficult to remember that we humble ourselves before God because he's the one that exalts us, because all the exalting is right in front of us. We can set that aside and we can wait for him. Imagine what Jesus could have done for himself. He could have been an entertainer and walked across water and done amazing things and gathered the crowds. He could have really made a business for himself, multiplying the loaves and the fishes. And Jesus could, yes, he did some amazing things, but he always shied away from the glory and the crowds, and he went off on his own trying to avoid all of that praise of people. He could have made a real name for himself, but rather he chose to put himself under the mighty hand of God, rather than showing his own strong arm. He put himself as a servant rather than exalting himself. He went to the cross to bear disgrace and shame and the humiliation of the cross. He could have set himself free and exalted himself. And as he went to the cross, he took on our sins upon himself. Why? So that we could have that opening and that relationship with God. Jesus humbled himself, went to the cross, and then God exalted him. And God raised Jesus up and gave him the name that's above every name. God raised Jesus to the highest place. And it's through Jesus that we can become the children of God. And it's through Jesus that as we humble ourselves and we recognize that I can't save myself, I need him. As we humble ourselves and say, I can't have life on my own, I need what he has accomplished on the cross. That we know, and we have that security. Because of Jesus, God will exalt me. God will vindicate me. God will lift me up. So in your life, when life is going well and you're enjoying the successes, place yourself under the mighty hand of God and wait patiently for the true exalting that he wants to bring. So that's when life's going well, but what about when life is difficult? God is still God. And since God is God, humble yourself before him when life is difficult. The next verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Many translations use it as one sentence, and they say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares on him. The main verb is humble yourself, and the supporting verb is casting all your anxieties on him. So the way in which you humble yourself is by casting your anxieties on him, by casting all of your cares and your worries and the difficult things of life. So the fruit of our lives, what's it going to be? As we're rooted in humility and as we're rooted in humbling ourselves, we can cast our cares on him and it'll bring about a fruit in our lives. Very different when life is tough, when life is difficult. It looks different. A pride in our lives looks different when life is difficult than a pride in our life when life goes well. And we're told to cast or to throw or to let go, or to release. That's the action verb when life is hard and we have cares and worries. Will pride ever allow you to cast your cares on God? Pride wants to hang on to it. Pride says, I've got this and I can do it. Pride says, I can rely on myself. I can handle these troubles. And if the troubles are too much and we can't handle it, pride starts to blame others or to blame God. Pride doesn't want to let go and cast our cares on him. But there's such a better way to humble ourselves, to put ourselves under God and say, here's all my cares. Here's my anxieties. Here's my worries. And humbling ourselves before God and casting our cares on him often means relying on others. That's difficult to do sometimes. To swallow your pride and to accept the help of others and to let them know that you're in a tough spot. Ouch, right? Especially when you're the one that's used to helping others and being the one caring for those in need. And now when life brings you down, to cast your cares on God, to accept the help of others. We are a church that cares for one another, that supports each other in our difficult times. And so as you cast your cares on God, allow us as a church family to walk with you through your difficulties. Sometimes we don't even know the struggles. Share with somebody so that we can help out and step in. If you've been let down by the church in your difficult times, sorry. Because the church is the place to care and to love and to give. But as we all know, we don't do a perfect job at it. We do let one another down. We do disappoint each other. But let's regroup and re-care, right? Let's allow ourselves to care for one another and to humble ourselves and say, yes, we didn't do it right, but how can we carry on now and care for you? And that's one of the beauties of our gospel communities. And if you're not part of one of the groups that meets in homes around the valley different nights of the week, sign up. Be part of a group so that we can care for each other. When life is going difficult and we're to cast our cares on God, God typically uses his people to care for one another. Now, which cares in your life do you need to cast before God? What are some of your worries and difficulties? What are areas of anxiety and stress that you're to cast before God? Even when life's going well, don't we often have these cares and worries? So it's not just an either-or, life's going well or it's difficult. But what cares do you have to cast before God? Which cares are we to cast before God? What does the verse say? Cast all your anxiety on him. How many of them? All of them. Most of them? Some of them? How about the one, does that exclude the really tough ones? I don't know if God can do that. That's going to be beyond his pay grade. No, all your cares. How about the cares that you brought on yourself, right? Well, I deserve that one. Cast it before God. How about the small ones that are kind of insignificant? All. Cast all your cares on him. What's the rationale? It says, casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. The rationale for why we cast our cares on Him is because He cares for you. And when you know that somebody cares for you, it's no longer a competition of trying to do better than them or having your pride in the way going, I can't. No, when someone cares for you, it breaks down those walls and those burdens. God cares for you. Allow Him to care for you by casting your cares on Him. Pride. God opposes the proud. So what are we to do? Humble ourselves before Him. And there's two ways these verses have told us. Under the mighty hand. So come under the mighty hand of God. And the second is by casting your cares on Him. So I want to ask, what struck you in this message? Is there an area where it's like, no, I need to come under God's mighty hand because pride is creeping up? Maybe it's the giving thanks or giving encouraging or fasting or giving. Or maybe there's cares and worries that are burdening you. And in humbling yourself before God, cast those on Him. I want us to spend just a short 2 minutes, talk to your neighbor and tell them, life's going pretty well right now. I want to bring myself under God's mighty hand, and here's how I'm going to do it. Or, man, there's these burdens that are on me. This is the burden I want to cast before God. Spend 2 minutes, talk to a neighbor or two or three around you, and just let them know one area that you're going to humble yourself before God in, either putting yourself under Him or a care to cast on Him. And then I'll interrupt you in 2 minutes. Now, I know I'm not giving you enough time. That's why we have Mingle with Muffins after. You can carry on this conversation and just share how you can humble yourself before the Lord. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You're a God that cares for us. Thank You that You're a God that sent Jesus, who humbled Himself and went to the cross so that we can be exalted in Your sight as our sins are forgiven and we're made right with You. Teach us to be a people that humble ourselves before You, under You, casting our cares on You, that pride may not rule us, but that we may enjoy a fruit as we're rooted in You. We praise You, Jesus.